Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. We're here every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 to help educate you, the dog-owning community, so you'll understand why your dogs do the things they do. We focus on their behaviors, their health issues, the many and various breeds, and how you can provide proper guidance they need to successfully live with you as happy and well-adjusted companion pets. Our topic of discussion this morning will include three small breeds, Chihuahuas, Bichons, and Dachshunds. I'm happy to welcome Darlene Arden back to the Doghouse. Darlene is an award-winning writer, lecturer, and she's authored several books, The Irrepressible Toy Dog, The Angel Memorial Animal Hospital Book of Wellness and Preventative Care for Dogs, Small Dogs, Big Hearts, and her latest book, with a title I absolutely love, is called Rover, Get Off Her Leg. I love it. Darlene is an internationally recognized authority on toy dogs and their care. She's also a certified animal behavior consultant. We're going to talk to Darlene very shortly, but please give me just a moment to let you know what my services are as a professional dog trainer in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. We have Darlene on the line. Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning, Rennie. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. I always look forward to our discussions when you come here and you visit with us. And I have lots of questions for you today that will hopefully help those people who are having a tough time with their little dogs, primarily with their house training. So, are you ready to get started?
I am so ready, and it's always fun to talk with you.
I always love to talk to you. You're wonderful. So I go out and do a lot of training with Chihuahuas, Bichons, and Dachshunds, and more often than not, their humans complain that they're very difficult to house train. Do you agree with that assessment?
Only to a certain extent and only involving certain breeds. I think the problem lies primarily with the owner. The difference between a Chihuahua having an accident in the house and a Great Dane or an Irish Wolfhound puppy having an accident in the house means you can see what the larger dog has done and you're not going to be happy, so you're going to get down to training faster. Mm-hmm. Being consistent is the whole deal, and small dogs cannot be reliably house trained as a rule for a year. So people have the most incredibly unbalanced sense of what should happen. They want instant dog. I have to tell them that my magic wand is in the drawer next to my fairy dust. And neither one of them are coming out because they won't work. You know, it's horrible because that's what lands these little dogs in shelters so quickly.
Yes, that's exactly right. I agree with you.
They don't notice, first of all, that the little dog has done anything until they walk barefoot through the house and step in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that these dogs, especially in this weather, living in this part of the country, that they lose body heat more rapidly than larger dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't want to go out in a T-shirt in this weather.
No, of course not.
This is absurd.
Yeah.
And yet you expect the dog to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog loses body heat so quickly that he's even colder. And then they wonder why little dogs shiver.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Sure. Naked in your backyard in the middle of the winter, and I think you'll shiver too.
Sure.
Yeah, and then again, you have the breed specifications. One of the things, since you brought up the Bichon, that we really need to talk about is dogs of the Bichon breeds. And that includes several different dogs, including the Havanese, the Maltese, Bolognese. These dogs are all terrible for house training, and we think there may be a genetic component because so many of them cannot be house trained reliably ever.
Really? And why do you suppose, or what are the studies coming out? What kind of answers are they coming out with as to why?
Well, that's the problem. We need a study. Nobody's done one.
Okay.
It's just informal, but universal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the people to mention it to me was Turid Rugas in Norway.
Mm-hmm. She's a very famous trainer, and just so everybody knows, she's discovered a lot about dog body language. She's done a wonderful job for the dog community, the dog community, to help us understand how dogs signal.
Absolutely. So, I recommend her On Talking Terms with Dogs, calming signals for every owner.
Right.
It's like learning a foreign language. It's wonderful.
It is.
And she had mentioned that she thought they were going to do a study there, and I don't think that ever happened. I had asked her to let me know if anything had materialized, but I think it's important to keep in mind that while some of these dogs are reliably house-trained, some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've done everything possible and the dog isn't house-trained, it's time to really think about other management methods and not dumping the dog and not dumping on yourself because, you know, what's wrong with me? I can't house-train this dog. Or is the dog stupid? No, this may be something nobody can help.
Right.
So it takes an attitude adjustment at that point.
Right. And I think that people are very impatient, Darlene. I always tell people, look, especially when they have children, I ask them, how long did it take to potty train your child? And usually it's a couple of years.
Exactly.
Here we have a dog, and they expect the dog to be potty trained in a month.
Oh, they want them to be exactly like the dogs they see on television. They not only want them potty trained in a month, they want them doing tricks.
Yeah.
And I have to remind them that Lassie isn't Lassie. There's a trainer standing behind the camera giving that dog signals.
I know.
You know, and it's everybody wants instant something. The two main problems I see are instant gratification and throwaway society. And one of the things that I always say is that patience isn't just a virtue. It's an indispensable training tool.
It's an absolute necessity. It's an absolute necessity for the health, the welfare, and the longevity of these little dogs. We have to be patient. And you got to work through the protocols. I mean, honestly, I cannot remember in the 8-plus years that I've been training, having a client come to me after I've been there and after I have given them these protocols to follow, that they didn't house train their dogs. And I'm including all the little breeds. But I will say there have been a couple owners of Chihuahuas who set themselves up for failure immediately because people told them in the beginning, you're going to have a hard time training this little dog, and so that they don't put out the effort. They're inconsistent, and I will tell you, too, that people hate the idea of crating their dogs. They hate the idea of confinement, and so this sets the dog up for absolute failure. Would you agree?
Absolutely. No question in my mind. And what they don't understand, that used properly, a crate is not punishment. It's a training tool like any other tool.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the best possible place for your dog. You set it up to be. You set it up so that it's comfortable, their favorite toys are in there, they get a treat in there, and they like being in there. It's their escape. Mm-hmm. Nobody can touch them when they're there. That's their safe haven. Also, because dogs like to remain clean, I'm not talking about puppy mill dogs.
Right. They don't know any better.
We're off with those dogs who don't have an option.
Right, exactly.
But they do not want to soil where they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you feed the dog in there, the dog is not going to soil where he eats.
Right.
But you have to keep track of the time between when he eats, when you take him out. It's exactly like toilet training a kid, except you're running them outside. You're not running them into the bathroom.
So with a woman who, let's say, has a one-year-old Chihuahua, the dog is also inconsistent. She's inconsistent. What other options would you tell this woman? What advice would you give this woman other than, I mean, we can't beat people over the head, and we can't change people's personalities. Some people are just plain inconsistent in life. Mm-hmm. What solutions can we offer people like this? Do we tell them to keep the dog in the crate like 18 hours out of 24?
No, that's animal abuse.
Sure.
And you know it as well as I do.
Absolutely. It's horrible.
It's awful. What I think you can do is sit down with the owner, explain the realities, and then ask, what are you willing to do? Because this is your responsibility, ultimately. Mm-hmm. So you have to decide, what will fit into your life? Do you want to live with a dog who isn't house trained? What is so wonderful about that?
Mm-hmm.
How much of an effort are you willing to make? Dogs are not stupid.
Mm-hmm. No, they're absolutely not.
But, it's a heck of a lot easier for the dog to go somewhere in the house than to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog's quite comfortable going in the house. Never mind that the dog's destroying your carpet in your home.
Right.
If they're not willing to do that, then I know people who live with dogs with belly bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to ask them, do you enjoy changing diapers?
Mm-hmm. And belly bands are for the males, and the diapers
males
are usually for the females. Although
right.
I had a little Westie.
And major problems come with the males hiking their legs and marking.
Right.
And so that you want to get, if it's a pet quality, it needs to be neutered anyway.
Right.
But if he's already learn to lift his leg, you may decide to do that anyway. So the belly band in the house is going to be optimum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you necessarily need to keep the belly band on the dog while he's outside.
Right.
The whole point is he's outside.
Right, and even so, if he gets to go outside, you want to reward it.
Exactly. You want to bring along a treat that he gets at no other time.
Mm-hmm.
A really high-value treat.
Sure.
And give him not a ton of it, just a little bit. Good grief. I mean, you take a dog that size, he gains a pound, it could be a quarter of his body weight.
Sure.
So that can be a whole other health issue.
Mm-hmm. You know what scares me, Darlene? I hear this with people who have the little dogs, but I also hear it with people who have puppies of the larger breeds, and they'll just out and out tell me, because they have no idea that what they're doing is dangerous, that they withhold the dog's water so that they don't have accidents.
Oh, that was such an old training technique that goes back a dozen or more years. And we know now that you can't do that. They'll dehydrate.
Absolutely.
How would you feel if you couldn't have a drink? I mean, think about the last time you had to go to the hospital for a test.
Mm-hmm.
And they made you be, or for somebody who had minor surgery, and you have to do what they call NPO, nail per aura, nothing to the mouth, after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel? Oh, I'd give anything for something to drink.
Yeah.
It's like being on a desert.
Yeah.
And it's horrendous. Mm-hmm. That's not good for the animal. It's not good for the health. And these little dogs go down far more quickly than larger dogs.
Right.
And when we're talking about something like a dachshund, if you've got a mini dachshund, that dog could weigh 5 pounds. So he's definitely falling into this category.
Sure.
Small dog.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How do you feel about the wee-wee pads? Do you feel that people should or should not get started with them?
I hate them.
I do, too. I think they're a filthy mess.
They are a filthy mess. People are incredibly lazy, and they've heard about this, and they think it's the way to go, and they haven't thought it through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like paper training a dog. You can't easily move them outside once they've learned to go inside on the paper.
Right.
And then I know someone who got a puppy. She asked me for a recommendation for a breeder and for exactly what she wanted. And money was no object. And she also has a home in the south of France, so money is no object.
Mm-hmm.
And I steered her in the direction of a breeder in England who does not do docking and cropping and is very careful about her dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They went to their home in France early just to pick up this dog. And their veterinarian over there thought he'd never seen a dog as wonderful.
Mm.
Cut back to the States. It's now a couple of years later. This dog had came house trained, pretty much had the whole idea down because the breeder was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to wait for another litter from the same breeder and decided, and she didn't want docked and cropped, which was why I had, at that point in time, I had to send her to somebody out of the country.
Right.
And she decided to buy, it was an impulse buy. It wasn't, thank goodness, a pet shop.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a breeder's first litter.
Oh, yeah. What an experiment.
I was breeding on the lines of somebody I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what the lines were, and that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman raised that entire litter on wee-wee pads.
Jeez.
Well, this puppy walks into her very expensive home and takes a look at the real Persian carpet and thinks, giant wee-wee pads.
Oh, no.
And I get the email. What do I do? And so I told her, just ready to somewhere between scream and bite my lip until it was bleeding. And she, thankfully, it took over a month of not only consistency on her part, but the elder dog teaching the younger one.
Oh, that's something. That's good.
It was observational learning.
Yeah.
Because he had somebody to go out with. It was like, no. Big boys do this.
Yeah, sure.
You don't get to go on the carpet.
Right.
It was just awful. I mean, it would be bad enough if it were an expensive imitation, but she had the real thing.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And that's how they generalize. How are they supposed to know that's not a giant wee-wee pad?
Sure. It's absorbent. That's all they're looking for.
Idiot who decided to raise the litter like that.
Yeah.
Then there's a very well-known author who, I'm told by someone who saw this and was horrified, during a reading, had her two dogs in one carrier, and there was a wee-wee pad at the bottom of it. Do you know how horrible?
Oh,
I mean, you know how horrible that is.
Yeah.
Most people may not realize is there pheromones in the wee-wee pad.
Oh.
It smells like urine to a dog.
Oh, Lord.
So the poor things are trapped there.
Yeah.
Which I call animal abuse.
It is.
And bad enough they were there all day, but heaven knows how many hours, you know, that she was traveling around like that with them beyond that entire day.
Right.
And they're trapped with a wee-wee pad. I'm sorry, am I ranting?
No. I do want to ask you a key question here, and I'd like to find out a good solution myself to be able to give to people who live in apartments. You know, people live in high-rise apartments. They have a little Maltese, or they have a Bichon, or a Chihuahua, or any of the little breeds. What are they supposed to do? I mean, suppose, you know, most, especially with people that live in high rises and apartments, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to have to schlep them up and down all day long. Is there any other solution that you can come up with for the apartment dwellers?
To wait for the elevator, and you know what that can be like.
Absolutely.
You can litter box train small dogs.
Now, what's the difference between putting the dog in a litter box and putting the dog on a wee-wee pad?
Well, you can either, unless you really want to change these wee-wee pads a lot, you just scoop the litter box.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put it in an unobtrusive place.
Okay.
And the dog's not going to be chewing it and tearing it up. A lot of dogs chew and tear up the wee-wee pads.
Mm-hmm.
They like to play with paper.
Right. That's true. That's true.
So that could be, I mean, if you want to use the wee-wee pad, I suppose you could put one on the bottom of the litter box to attract the dog to it, but you're still going to have to do the same kind of training to teach the dog to use the litter box.
Mm-hmm. So you bring the dog over to the litter box and you reward the dog every time he goes in there.
Exactly.
That's pretty simple.
It's very simple, and with a small dog in a high-rise apartment, that can be a good solution, and you can put the litter box in an unobtrusive place, you know, or put it in the bathroom. What's more appropriate?
Sure. I think
that's
a great
idea.
That
is one solution, and you don't, and the other thing is people's ridiculous thinking. I don't know what they're thinking. They get a puppy in the winter, in a cold climate.
I know.
And now you not only have the delay of the elevator, but even if you live in a house, you're still dressing this puppy up.
Yeah.
Because you need a coat or a sweater because they lose body heat so quickly.
Sure.
It's like putting a kid in a snowsuit.
Yep. We had a 2-foot snowstorm here a few weeks ago.
Ooh.
And I felt sorry for anybody that had gotten a puppy. I was having a hard time getting my own adult little dog to go outside. We had to shovel a path for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was deep. And so as lazy as people are, I'm sure they had a ton of accidents and set themselves back way back in their house training.
Exactly. You know. And how many people really want to go out at all hours? I recommend that people sleep in sweats until the puppy's ready.
I think that's a terrific idea. I really do.
If the puppy wakes up in the middle of the night and needs to go, it's your fault.
Right.
If you don't take them out.
Sure.
And do you really want to go out at 3 or 4 in the morning or even 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
In the middle of the winter,
mm-hmm.
sub-zero temperatures,
And you don't want to go out, and your puppy doesn't want to go out either,
nobody
really.
Nobody wants to go out even until spring.
Yeah, that's
get
right.
Get a puppy in the spring.
Right, these Christmas puppies have a real challenge when they come home. It's a shame. I'm always worried about them. Well, let's get off the house training topic just for a few minutes. I'd like to get your opinion, because I'm not quite sure why this is going on. What do you think of the recent designer mixed breed dogs today? Why are so many of our little dogs mixed with the poodle? What do breeders see as an advantage to doing that?
I think, first of all, poodles will do it with anything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if it's a dog who's discriminating and they're worrying about, will the breeding take?
Oh, I see what you said.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, a little bit slow here this morning.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Poodles will do it with anything.
I've thrown off the air, really.
Are you saying poodles are promiscuous?
Yes.
There you go.
The other thing is, I think they think that these dogs are non-alert, hypoallergenic, that they don't shed. But the funny thing is that there's no guarantee that the puppy is going to take after the poodle.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a copiously shedding Italian Greyhound or Minpin.
Mm-hmm.
And they breed them with anything and everything. The infamous poo breeds.
Yep.
Just say no. First of all, you can go into any shelter and find plenty of mixed breed puppies. And if you feel like you need to have something exotic, name it whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If that makes you feel better about yourself, it doesn't change the dog any, but go save a life. Do not encourage somebody to really indiscriminately breed for the almighty dollar.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we're having a little bit of a difficult time getting people to understand that.
I don't know what they don't understand. I've had the worst time trying to explain this. I'm sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
No, excuse me, what you have is a mutt.
Yep.
You paid a lot of money for it.
That's right.
You have a mixed breed.
Yep. Yep. And they just think that they're getting something so special that they, they went to everything's always all right for a person when they say, oh, I did get it from a breeder. They think that that's a good thing. I didn't get it from my neighbor next door, and I didn't get it from somebody who was just having puppies. I got it from a breeder. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you've gotten a really good dog,
Right. There's a difference between a reputable breeder and somebody who, is like it was said, there's one born every minute.
Mm. Oh, jeez.
And basically, if you're spending $2,000 or $3,000 on a mixed breed dog,
God, you're getting ripped off.
You're getting ripped off royally. Go to a shelter. Yeah. I've seen the cutest things at shelters.
They do. I mean, they're just all over the place.
I was at a conference. This woman brought her puppy that she was training for as a service dog, and she found it at a shelter. It was half Chihuahua, half Papillon.
Oh. I've met several of that mix, actually.
It's adorable.
It is.
So what? It was a proud shelter dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay a lot of money. Go save a life.
Right. Sure.
And you can call them anything you want, but those same dogs that you think are purebred, no, they're not.
Right.
And I wish there were another term besides breeder, because the responsible breeders get painted with the same brush as these irresponsible people who are looking to make a fast dollar.
Right.
Or badly breeding backyard breeders who are causing health problems.
Right.
You should be able to see health screenings clearances to a certain age, guaranteed to a certain age. See the health clearances on the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Know that what you're getting, look and see what the breeding program is. Meet at least one of the parents.
Right.
Are they breeding for temperament? There's been a horrible problem in any number of breeds.
Sure.
Bad temperament.
Absolutely.
And then they come looking for help.
The thing that worries me and upsets me more than anything is that people think it's okay to see a picture of a dog or a puppy on the internet, and they say, ooh, I want that dog, and then they adopt it. And then the dog is either shipped in or whatever. But how can you possibly choose a dog from a picture? That blows my mind.
To live with. I suggest that people go to dog shows. They spend more time buying a car and choosing that for a refrigerator than a family member. And this is going to be with you for a long time, probably a lot longer than the car you just bought.
Oh, absolutely longer than the car that you bought.
You know, and it's not something you're going to sit in the corner like a television set when you're bored with it. This is a living, breathing, sentient being.
Sure.
They all have different personalities, and they're bred to do something.
Sure.
You better be sure you like what that something is. All puppies are cute.
They are.
And they're going to grow up to be something. And even if you look at the adult and you think that's attractive, okay, but what's behind it? Do they have an overwhelming desire to hunt? Do they want to hurt? Do you want them nipping at your heels because that's normal herding behavior? Chihuahuas, they look so cute and innocent most of the time. And their breed standard calls for them to be terrier-like.
Well, and they are.
I'm by terriers, but it doesn't mean you're going to be.
Right.
Do you want a dog who's sitting there outsmarting you at every turn? I think it's hilarious.
It is hilarious, and
most
they do it.
Are going to sit there and get ready to cry and are going to get rid of the dog.
Right.
They just need to learn to work with that, but it doesn't mean they have the time or the patience.
Sure. And
humor.
Patience is critical. I mean, patience is just not there. I got a call the other night from a woman who got a lab puppy. We're off the subject right now of the small breeds, but she got a lab puppy. We know that labs, especially today, I don't know why they're doing this, but they're breeding labs to have very high drive personalities, and they're very hard to exercise. They're very hard to get them to calm down and get tired. But the puppy is doing the normal play biting, and the woman calls me and she says, "If you can't get this puppy to stop doing this, we're going to get rid of it." I mean, she's biting my daughter, she's biting me, she's biting our slippers, and I assured the woman that this is normal behavior, and I just need to come out and give them some suggestions on how to manage the dog to prevent all of the biting that it's doing. Well, she says, we'll have to make an appointment sometime in February. We have many things that we have to do and we don't have time. Well, okay then, you know, what am I supposed to do? And that poor puppy's going to wind up either going back to the breeder if they'll take it back, or God knows what, I worry about it.
I don't blame you. I would worry about it too, but that's, you know, you can see there's no commitment.
Right. It's you've got to be perfect as soon as you come into the house.
As important as patience is commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
And would they throw their children back?
No, but you're right. It's a throwaway society, and I don't meet too many people with that kind of an attitude, but they're out there, and I wish that they weren't. I wish that they would just get real.
All you have to do is find to have it kind of ruin your day.
Yeah, it does. It really does. One last question. What is it about the little breeds that makes them bark so much? Why do people refer to the small breeds as those yappy dogs?
You know, that's the most frustrating thing because they're not all like that. Some breeds are talkative. Pomeranians have to tell you what's going on. You know, there are leaves on the trees. Did you notice the grass was growing? And wait till you hear what happened all day while you were out. But, you know, so are Shelties. You look at a Shetland sheepdog running agility, and that dog will not shut up.
Yep.
I'm running, I'm by. You know, those are the first ones that end up being debarked, which I hate.
Oh, that's illegal here, thank goodness.
Thankfully, but, you know, people don't understand that this is part of what they're getting, and that's why those dogs end up in rescue so much.
Yeah.
I think it's because people aren't really paying the proper kind of attention to the dog. You want your dog to be the gatekeeper, to set up an alarm if a stranger comes. So you don't want to completely eliminate barking. But you do want to eliminate indiscriminate barking because the dog is bored trying to do something else. Most people do not exercise their little dog's body and mind enough.
That's correct.
I think that's important to do. I mean, you have to find out, first of all, is this part and parcel of the breed? Well, yes. I mean, you know, if you got a Minpin, part and parcel of that breed is that they got to go no matter what happens. While the Pomeranian's telling you that leaves are growing on the trees and there's grass growing, your Minpin's running to the window looking out to tell you the same thing, but immediately pees right where he is.
I love these pictures.
I
love these pictures you paint, Darlene. You are just so wonderful to visit with, and I hope that you'll do this again very soon. We're going to set up another date.
I'd love it.
And I can't thank you enough for being such a wonderful educator to just not just my listeners, but to me, too.
Thank you, and you're just terrific.
Thank you so much.
I love talking with you. You are so good, and your clients are so lucky to have you.
You, too.
Thanks.
All right, so we'll be in touch soon. I want you to stay dry today, and I hope you feel better.
I hope you stay dry today.
Yeah.
And we're going to get 50 miles. mile-an-hour winds.
I know, and I did the backstroke just to get here.
What were the odds of that happening?
Yeah, really. All right, sweetheart, you take care, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. I want to thank all of you who are listening to these very wonderful and educational programs that we do each week. I hope that you'll tune in again next Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30. I'll be interviewing a local homeopathic veterinarian by the name of Dr. Michael Dim. We'll be talking about the controversy that rages among veterinarians as to what vaccinations should be or should not be given to our dogs and what vaccines should definitely be avoided. You really don't want to miss this program. So have a great week, everybody. Do something fun with your dogs today.